You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach, talking New York Mets with MLB.com's Mets beat reporter Anthony DiComo. We'll start with what I think is the topic of the week in Mets land, which is Noah Syndergaard. The line, I think it's fair to say, did not really do him justice. It was a somewhat uninspiring pitching line, but I think to my eye, and I suspect to yours, he was awfully impressive. What did you see from Syndergaard in his first big league start?
Yeah, you can't really look at the line because sort of everything negative that happened there happened in two spots. One was in the sixth inning at the very end just before he came out, and he gave up three quick hits, three quick runs, and that sort of ruined it for him. And the other spot was earlier in the game when sort of a routine ground ball at the third base, and Daniel Murphy just acted really slow on it. Would have been the last out of the inning. Instead, Chris Bryant gets an infield hit, and Noah Syndergaard has to wind up throwing 18 more pitches that inning. There were a couple walks thrown in there. So really a lot of the bad things that happened shouldn't overshadow the good, which was this guy comes up, and this guy who sort of there have been questions about him throughout his minor league career of can he handle the big stage? Does he have the makeup for this? Matt Harvey, he is not in terms of personality and all that. But he really seemed to embrace it. He seemed to do a good job. He came out firing 98-mile-an-hour fastballs. He obviously has that power curve. The changeup is improving, and we saw a little bit of all of that. What I liked out of Noah Syndergaard in his debut was just that. He was using his off-speed stuff a lot. He wasn't going out there, which I think is a fear of some Mets people, going out there and saying, hey, I've got this 98-99, I'm just going to rear back and throw and see if you can hit it. Because as we know, big league hitters can hit that if they know it's coming. He looked much more like a pitcher than we've seen at points in the past with him, and if he can continue to do that, I think everyone realizes and knows that his sheer stuff is as good as pretty much anyone in the league. So he'll get guys out as long as he continues pitching and continues really performing like he did in his debut.
Well, you work in New York, so I don't have to apologize for getting way ahead of ourselves and being ridiculous here. I don't think it's ridiculous. I do think it's getting ahead of ourselves a little bit. But I do want to ask, is there an opportunity for him, is there a chance that he could pitch, show something, do something, that he's in the rotation for good now, or is it for sure that if Dylan G's recovery goes sort of as normal, he's back in the rotation when he's healthy again?
Oh, Noah Syndergaard has every opportunity. Just because the Mets won't necessarily say that out loud, I think it's pretty clear for a couple of reasons. One, they've been waiting on this guy for a while. A lot of people thought he would be up last year. It took about a year longer than many expected. But this guy's a big part of their future. They don't like calling guys like that up if they think they're going to have to send them right back down. And if Noah Syndergaard goes out and throws two or three really good games before Dylan G can get back, you're not going to boot him from the rotation. You'll find someone else to remove if and when it comes to that. The other reason is you just never know with injuries. I mean, we've talked so much on this podcast about how much pitching depth the Mets had coming into this season. Well, it's pretty much all gone now. I mean, they had an insane amount of depth, and they've got injuries to Dylan G, Zach Wheeler, obviously, with the Tommy John surgery. Rafael Montero's out sort of indefinitely, and that injury is lingering longer. So you look down in the minor leagues now, and with Syndergaard up, the only sort of big league ready guy you have down at AAA is Stephen Matz. The depth is pretty much all gone. So just to assume that Dylan G is going to come back and this rotation is going to be healthy and nothing else is going to go wrong, and all of a sudden you're going to have 7-8 guys for 5 spots, it just doesn't usually work out that way. So in a perfect world for the Mets, Noah Syndergaard will go out and pitch great, and you know maybe Dylan G gets healthy, and then that's a tough decision they'll have to make. But I find it hard to believe that if that's the case, they're going to say, sorry, Noah, you're back in AAA, because this guy really is a huge part of the future for the franchise.
Does he have to be really terrific to make that a tough decision, or does he just have to be sort of good enough to show you flashes of what he's capable of being?
Well, if he shows he's not ready, yeah, he'll go back down. You know, he can't go out and start walking the ballpark and start doing sort of what I was talking about before, trying to blow his fastball by people, not really relying as much on the curve, on the changeup. you know, if he's doing that and showing that he's a little rough around the edges, we'll send him down for more seasons. I mean, they like their staff down there with Wally Backman and Frank Viola and the guys that they have working with, the AAA pitchers, so they won't hesitate. I'm not saying by any means this is automatic that Noah Syndergaard is in the rotation for all eternity, but if he performs well, and I don't mean he has to go seven shutout every time, if he shows that he's a major leaguer and he's ready and that he really has nothing else that he needs to prove or work on at AAA, then, yeah, I think he's here to stay, and he certainly has that opportunity to be here to stay.
Yeah, I think that was what I was getting at, is he's sort of somewhere in between, whoa, Matt Harvey, and not ready. If he's sort of that in between, good, but still with work to do, he sticks around, is sounds like what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, it's a challenge in a sense. I mean, it's right there before him. And pitch well, you get to stay. Don't pitch well, you go. I mean, I think that's sort of the pretty clear situation that faces Noah Syndergaard right now. And that's really, you know, if I'm an evaluator, if I'm a coach, if I'm a manager, that's what I want from my young pitchers. I don't want him to be complacent and say, well, you know, I don't have to be amazing to stick around. I've got that job. And nor do I want him to be looking over his shoulder constantly worrying about, you know, if I throw one pitch that's, you know, catches too much of the zone, I'm back in the minors. I think it's a nice little happy medium for him to really see what he can do when he's challenged.
To go to a less pleasing topic, the Mets are not winning a lot lately, and it's pretty easy to look at what's going on. Not only are they not scoring runs, they're not hitting for any power at all. The team slugging percentage is 349. Murphy's at 358. Even Duda, who's having a nice year, is at 446. Kadire's at 371. Granderson's at 360. Nobody in this lineup is hitting for any power. And it seems like that's really what they're going to need to do to score runs. What can they do, if anything, aside from get guys healthy and just wait for this offense to be more like what they thought it was going to be?
Well, of all the guys you mentioned, I look directly first and foremost at Michael Kadire, because everyone else was here last year. We sort of know what they're all about. This isn't a team that's going to outslug people. But they brought Michael Kadire in pretty much exclusively for that purpose. They spent the first-round draft pick on him. They ponied up the money because they thought he was the guy who could come in and add a little thump to the middle of their order. He's not doing that. He's not even remotely doing that. So until or unless that happens, it's really hard to expect other guys to produce more. I mean, maybe, yeah, you could expect a little more power from Duda just because we saw it last year. Maybe we could expect Curtis Granderson to pop one or two more out of the ballpark. But Kadire's really the guy. Kadire's the guy who was supposed to be the difference maker, and so far he hasn't been. If he can get to being that guy, and, you know, I don't know exactly what it will take for him to do that. Maybe he's reached a point in his career where he's not, and the Mets just made a mistake. But I think they think there's still plenty in there. So if he can get to hitting balls out of the ballpark or even just driving balls into the gaps, because he hasn't really been doing that either, it'll transform a lot of what's going on with this offense, and it could cure a lot of ills pretty quickly.
And, you know, as I mentioned, it will also help to get healthy. So to go over some of those guys, they made a move recently that seemed to indicate that David Wright wasn't as close as maybe we thought, and that's sort of proven out, as he's still not there. How far away is Wright? What's his status at the current time?
That's a big mystery. I think it's something that should be pretty concerning for the Mets at this point, because this started as just an innocent little hamstring injury, or as innocent as a hamstring injury can be, and then all of a sudden it turned into a lower back thing, and then you look up here in this week when the Mets are in Chicago, and David Wright has just sort of stopped doing stuff. He's not doing baseball activities. He's been inside in Florida just receiving treatment, and this is sort of becoming a thing that's lingering, and we've gotten to the point now where even if he goes out tomorrow and starts doing stuff and really gets back on that program, you're going to look up, and by the time he gets in rehab games and actually comes back, it's going to be another close to two-month absence for David Wright. This was exactly what the Mets feared coming into the season. We talked a lot about David Wright's health at age 32, what he's still capable of doing, what he is at this stage in his career. And I remember saying on the preseason podcast that the biggest thing was I think the numbers will be there for him as long as he can stay on the field. Well, he hasn't. And that's a big deal for the Mets. We're talking about power production. We're talking about overall offensive production. David Wright remains the key, the catalyst to everything that the Mets are doing. And if he's not on the field, it's hard to expect major improvement. So in terms of when he can be back, I think it's a pretty big mystery at this point. I wouldn't expect him much before the start of June. It could even leak into June a little bit at this point. Like I said, by the time he gets done with getting back into shape, doing his rehab program, getting out and playing some minor league games. So it's I don't want to say another lost season for David Wright, but it's a lost couple of months, and they need him back as soon as they can.
And as far as Travis d'Arnaud, who also, if he hits like he has over the last roughly two-thirds of the season or so, would also be a big help. What's his status?
Yeah, that one's a little more concrete. He had the broken pinky finger, and he's sort of progressing as they expected. That was a 6 to 8 week timetable when he first got hurt, and he's pretty much chugging along on that. I think you can expect him back in June at some point. And yeah, that would be a big boon for them, because while the Mets think the world of Kevin Plawecki, who's been receiving most of the starts behind the plate, his offense has been sputtering, tough to get going a little bit in the early going. And that's to be expected for a guy who has zero major league experience coming into the season. So the sooner they can get d'Arnaud back, and he's another guy who's had some major, major injury issues. He's missed a ton of time, both as a prospect and since he's gotten to the big league. So they need him back, but I think that's a much more clear-cut case that, when you look at that June timetable, he will be there, as opposed to David Wright, who it's more of a really who knows at this point.
Como, thanks for taking some time to talk here on MLB.com Extras, and thanks everybody for listening.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.